Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And I am so excited today to be back on our radio broadcast again for our study in the Word, our Bible study. I just bring greetings, pardon me, in the awesome and powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. I'm so delighted that you've chosen to be on our radio broadcast on tonight. I just thank and praise our Father tonight for this opportunity to study His Word with each other. I just want to call our worship, our Bible class to order on tonight. I just thank and praise God tonight. We're going to have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And we're going to get started with our study in the Word.
Please don't you pay. don't pass me by. I need you to ever be made of.
Amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I have just read you Psalm 24 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have prayer by Prophetess Martin on today.
Amen.
Amen.
Most gracious and everlasting Father, Lord God, we come to you tonight, Father, asking that you please forgive us for every known and unknown sin we've committed in our lives. If we hurt it or offended you, Father, in any type of way, God, please forgive us for it, Lord. Father, please forgive us for our shortcomings, Lord God. Please, Lord, forgive us if we've taken anything for granted, Father God. We are so sorry. If we have any unforgiveness in our heart, Father, please forgive us for that, Lord God. Father God, I thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way. Thank you for putting food on our table, God. Thank you for putting clothes on our back and shoes on our feet. Thank you for a roof over our head, Lord God. Thank you for transportation, Lord God. Thank you for the activities of our limbs, Lord God. We thank you for our job, Father God. Whatever money we got coming in, God, we thank you for that, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray that you continue to lead and guide us, Father God. We love you so much, God. We ask that you continue to cover us. Father God, we pray for those that don't have, Lord God, the sick and the shut-in, Lord God. We pray for the hurt and the hungry and the homeless, Father God. We pray for the people that's bedridden or bedbound, Father God. We pray for those that don't have any food to eat, Lord God, or any money to pay their bills, Father God. We pray for the single parents, Father God. We ask that you just begin to move on their behalf, Lord God. We pray that you have mercy on your people, Father God. Have mercy on our soul, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Thank you, God, for whatever you will do. And if you don't do nothing else, Lord God, we still say thank you, God. We pray that you open up our heart and our mind to be prepared for this word we're about to receive. And these are all the things you ask in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, Prophetess Morgan, for the prayer. You know, we're getting ready for chapter 2 on tonight. It's still a lot of stuff in chapter 1 that we need to know, but I don't know how deep I can go, so I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it like it is, because the next time we come around to Genesis in our Bible class, whenever we come back and start over, we're going to talk about the three heavens. We're going to talk about Lucifer being kicked out of heaven and some things like that. But the Lord has put me in a standstill with teaching that right now. We're going to teach what you can see right now. We're not going to go deeper into it. When you get a deeper, God's going to get deeper. You know just what and when and how. Because I want everybody to know and to be filled in the Holy Spirit before I go that way, so you will know and understand, because the Holy Spirit going to open up your understanding for it. So tonight we're going to start in chapter 2. And anytime anybody want to read, they can. I'll read and tell you. I don't want to just call somebody and say read, but I'm going to read and tell somebody else want to read. So this is chapter 2. This is the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pisan, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land, of that land is good. There is a bdellium and the oxen stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia, the land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates, the Tigris. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we're going to go to verse 1. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So we just want to talk about the seventh day. We want to talk about the rest on the second day and how he blessed the seventh day. So anyone. Okay. I know y'all just study question answers, but when I study a lot of stuff. So
Well,
God
I just wanted to basically add, because if I'm not mistaken, you were saying about the seventh day, and I just wanted to add how he each of those days he did something. That means he was working. And basically,
yeah,
he's just letting us know what we need to do as Christians, working,
mm-hmm,
whether it's in prison, working, whether it's at the hospital, working, whether it's for the homeless up under bridges, working. I'm saying, you know,
yeah,
he know you got lives. I mean, he had one too, probably. But you know what I'm saying? He know what we,
yeah,
what we have, he know because he made it. So
yeah,
whether it's going by, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, we need to have all this going for ourselves and all of that and pick one ministry and all of that. You can have multiple things that you could do, and it don't take nothing about 5 or 10 minutes out of each day. He did it for seven,
right,
days, and he had to rest. Now think about all of that, what he did on a daily basis, and he for
yes,
him
right,
to have to rest, we got a God. You get what I'm saying? So my thing,
mm-hmm,
is when I look at this, I think about him working. You know, not for the family, him working, not to please man, him working, not to be the biggest internet star, but him working.
Uh-huh.
to show us what we need to do, to go before us, to make a way so he can say, hey, I did it. So can you? And it doesn't, and he probably, some of those days, he probably didn't take them about an hour. I mean, back in those days, in his day or whatever, it probably was a blink of a snap or a blink of an eye. You get what I'm saying? And I don't want to take too long. Mm-hmm. I was just saying how we could take 5 or 10 minutes and just drive by somewhere. Just ask if somebody okay. Hey, you okay? If they tell you they're not okay, is there anything I can do? If you can do something, do it. But if you cannot, hey, I'm going to pray for you because I can't do that. I'm not, I don't have any money.
Okay.
So I can just give, I don't have any monetary, but I can give you a word. And God going to listen. He going to hear it. He going he's going to be up there. You get what I'm saying? So that's all I wanted to add with that one.
That was good. That was good. That was good, Miss Prophetess. That was good. That was good because what she was saying was if God had to work 6 days, we know we got to work. Now, he was the creator. He created everything. But we need to be doing something. I'm not saying every day, but we need to be doing something. We really need to study every day. We need to do something every day. But, you know, you all get it. I got it. I picked it up. Anyone else?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. So I just wanted to piggyback off of that, off of the seventh day and how God worked. You know, and just looking at it to me, you know, I'm not going to say that God was tired and he wanted to rest on the seventh day. But he was giving man a pattern regarding the structure of time. And to give an example of the blessing of rest to man on the seventh day.
Amen.
You see, you know, the seventh day he blessed it and he sanctified it because it was a gift to man. You know, it's so important for us to rest. And see, when we take that seventh day and we make it holy unto God, God gives us a rest. Like we can't find nowhere else because it's blessed and it's sanctified for us to rest on that seventh day.
Amen.
You know, and so I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that. It's just a blessing to rest on the seventh day. You know, God's going to give us peace and rest. Of, you know, Kato, we can't, we think we could go lay down and rest, but I'm talking about on that seventh day. God sanctified and blessed that day for us to rest, and we should be doing that. We should say it's good to work. It's good to work, but that seventh day after we've done all we can do, all of those other 6 days, on that seventh day, we should set it aside and make it holy unto God because he gave us that day to rest. And, you know, it's going to tell them what will happen to us spiritually, physically, or mentally when we set that day aside for God. Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right. We just have to get the seventh day right. We have to know which day is the seventh day. That's what we have to do to, you know, in this day and time, everybody now say Sunday is the seventh day, but Sunday is not the seventh day. So, but to each his own, because I stop and be still on the seventh day, and when I don't and can't, I repent to the Lord, because he said, remember the Sabbath. This is a commandment, and keep it holy. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So it's important because he did bless it. This is the third recorded blessing here from the beginning of Genesis. This is the third recorded blessing he blessed in the first chapter in verse 22nd verse, and in the 28th, and now he's blessing again. And I just thank him, thank God for that. So, and it's important that we rest that not just rest, it's important that we set aside that time, because he had to think it was important because he did it. He set it aside. He sanctified it. So we should do the same thing. He worked the 6 days, and that work, what he did, he did creation, and he stopped. One day is 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. But he rested on the seventh day, and he blessed it and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all work which God created. Okay, verse 4. Anyone else have anything on that before we go forward? Okay, verse 4. These are the generations of heaven and of earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And in every plant of the field, before it was the earth, in every herb of the field, before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed unto him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was just hit me when I was reading the chapter. When did he name Adam? Do anybody know? When did he give Adam a name? And I don't see this in this chapter, but when I was reading it, I read it 2 or 3 times a day, but when I was reading it just a minute ago, let me see. It was when he, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And Adam gave name. It was like in verse 20. He didn't just say what his name will be called, Adam. It just came up. It just came up.
Yeah, I see that in the end of verse 19, when he brought the beast of the field and every foul air, and brought them unto Adam. Yeah.
I guess that's the first sign of him naming Adam, but let me get to a question. I don't forgot all about them. Okay. Chapter 2.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. So basically, round in verse 5, Adam's name means
This is verse 5.
It means man, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. You're right.
So verse 5 kind of hits around to his name and what it stands for, or what it's the meaning of Adam. And that's where God got it from. But I don't know when he started, when it came out, like, your name will be Adam, or no, I can't tell you that.
No.
But,
Let me see. I know what you're saying. Let me see.
Genesis 5 and 2, I do believe.
Okay. Wait a minute, let me see here.
Mankind.
Mm-hmm. I know you're looking at your...
If you look up Adam's name or something like that, it means man.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like almost like the definition. It's not in the word. It's not
he
what it really, you know,
saying,
that I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was just, he was just calling a man in absolute. I know what you're saying.
So in the international, the New International Version, 5 and 3, it's
mm-hmm.
his name is Adam, and right there, instead of 20, it's in 5.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I understand because
okay.
it isn't.
So I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not linking it together because
Because he's man, and he's the only man there. So I don't know how he got. I mean, I just didn't see when he named him, but you know, he said Adam,
yeah.
So that's got to be his name. But I'm gonna dig more into that. It just came to me that he didn't just say, "Well, your name will be called Adam."
Right.
He just
right.
said
just
Adam.
Like he named all
and
the animals and stuff like that. He didn't name him.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So
right.
I kind of get it too.
Right. Well, we're going to answer these questions, but we don't have a chance to answer. Okay. From what was the first man formed? What was the first man formed from? Can anybody answer that?
Dirt. Dirt. The dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Verse 7.
From what were the animals formed from?
Verse 19. Uh-huh. Verse 19. And it reads, let's see. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. So I guess it's not dust, but out of the ground.
Well, the dust, man was formed from the dust, but the animals was formed from the ground.
Man
was formed from the dust of the earth. I don't know what the difference is, and the animals was formed from the ground, but man was formed from the dust of the earth. So, everybody understand that? Mm-hmm.
So you said the dust of the earth, or is it the dust
mm-hmm.
of the ground?
The earth.
Because
okay.
it says grounded.
Wait a minute. Okay. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And okay, let me see. Which one am I on? Okay. And okay, he rested. And God blessed the 7 day and sanctified it, okay? Okay. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Okay, and breathed into his nostrils the earth, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted, going, I'm trying to see, and out of the ground made the Lord God it grow every tree. Now I'm trying to find about the animals. My Bible ain't doing me no what I wanted to
That's
do.
That's verse 19. That's in verse 19, the animals.
Out of the ground. Okay. Well, I got some stuff. You know, that's why I don't like looking at commentaries and stuff, because they don't, everybody interprets differently. The earth is the ground. Excuse me. So I just what was in my Bible and in the commentaries of what I see. But the earth is the ground. We all know that. The earth is the ground, and that's right. We have to do it the right way, because we ain't supposed to add none to God's word, but we're not supposed to take nothing away. So out of the real, you got the TV on. Out of the rib of the man, oh, I know who this is. Okay, sorry. Out of the rib of the man, okay. I already know. Okay. What was woman formed from? I'm sorry, I didn't get y'all the answer. I got all of them. Hello? How was woman formed?
Out of the rib of man.
I got verse 15. I got verse 15.
Okay.
Yeah. So let me read it. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. And dressed it and kept it. And the Lord God commanded the man. Oh, hold up, I got the wrong thing. All right. Somebody else grab it.
Who? Somebody else want to answer?
It's verses 21 through 23.
Okay.
To fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man.
All right. Amen.
And that's out of verse 22, right?
Yeah, I just started reading from 21. But yeah, you could say 21. That's what he made the rib God had taken from man, made he a woman. But I just added verse 21 in there. Because in 21 it says he took one of his ribs. So I just added in like that.
Amen. Everybody understand that? Anybody got anything to say, to add to it? Well, where did God place Adam?
He said in the Garden of Eden.
Yes, he did.
And,
yes, he did.
That was like verse 15, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably in your Bible. I don't know. Uh-huh. Man, that's right. And he put him there to cultivate the ground and to keep the garden, to dress
it. Yeah, and to work it.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he put Adam in the garden for. But it's so much more. And because I only gave you three questions, it's so much more. You will, the next chapter, you will have four or five questions altogether, at least four. So the more we go on, they're going to get more intense. And so... And what I want to do is I want to see if you could find a reference to go along with your question, with your answer, because a lot of times they have references by your script, your verse they have, and so for you to read and just all you have to do is look. Some Bibles have it right in the middle. Some Bibles have it right on the side. They'll have verses on there so you can read, because it's always, almost always, you can find it somewhere else where it says that. I'm going to look up about Adam. I want to look up some more about Adam. But what we should know is that God is so much more in here. It's so much more in here, because when he made the woman as a helpmeet, he brought the woman, he put Adam to sleep. He took the woman, the rib out of his side. He closed Adam back up, and he put Adam in that deep sleep. So when Adam got up, the Lord brought woman to Adam, and he brought him to, he brought her to Adam for Adam to honor the woman. He wanted Adam to, you know, to just deem her highly respectful and stuff like that. And that's why he brought her, took her, because he could have just let her sit somewhere and Adam find her. But he brought her to Adam. It was a reason he did it like that. And so that man can respect, and it's like a equal, man and woman supposed to be equal just about. But in that, when he formed them and when he made them, they were supposed to be equal. But when the fall of man took place, it changed. Things changed. Let me see. And she was for his comfort. She helped him. She was, you know, she was a helpmeet, and that's what we do for our husbands. We help them. We do, you know, y'all know what you do. But I didn't read so much, and I didn't want to bring all of that up in it, but it gave me a good understanding. It gave me a very good understanding about when he made woman and stuff like that, and why he made her. Because it's just when he brought the woman to Adam, it was like a marriage. So they went together. That's why a lot of times when, marriage is you have a paper and a certificate, but if you take and not have a paper and a certificate and you don't take the marriage vow and you just lay down with somebody, just like God brought Adam and Eve together and they were married, and you go and lay with somebody, it's like you married to them already. It's right here in the Word of God. So your spirit man intertwines, and that's why it's so hard once you lay down with a man or a woman. It's so hard to, you know, forget them and you know, be apart from them, because it's like a marriage. Now, it's instituted now, and you get a certificate, a marriage certificate. But how God did it here in the Bible, he just took Eve to Adam, and they were married. They were husband and wife. You know, they didn't say no vows, and he didn't say no vows, but they laid down together, and they were married. So you know, I just thought that should be explained. And then he wanted the woman to be equal to Adam. It right at this instant, because after a while, man gonna be, she gonna have to follow and do what man say. Mm-hmm. So that's what I studied a lot today. But everything is good, and I don't want nobody to think the answers are wrong. There is no wrong answer, because you're trying to get an understanding. The only way you're going to learn something is to say something. Or, you know what I'm saying, everybody know that. There's no wrong answers when you're trying to learn. And I done been back and forth through this Bible, up and down through this Bible, and I still don't know nothing. The more I study, the less I know. But God knows everything. You know, so it's no wrong answers. We just trying to get an understanding. So when you hear somebody preaching out of Genesis, the second chapter, you will automatically know what that's about, because we studied it. We can't learn everything from it. It's a whole lot more, a whole lot more. I got one of these old commentaries, and it's two, three pages to one verse. I'm like, I am not reading all that, but it did give me a good understanding. But it's so much more to it. And a lot of things in commentary, you cannot, you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you on a lot of that stuff, because they're interpreting just like we're, the Holy Spirit giving us interpretation of it. Does anyone have any questions or any comments?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry about that. But going back, could you explain more about the seventh day, the Sabbath day? I need to get a good understanding of it.
Okay. Well, the Sabbath day was always on a Saturday. I looked it up, and I did a deep study on it. And Constantine changed the Sabbath day to Sunday, because he had wanted to, something else to do. He had something else to do. So he changed the day. Constantine, you can look it up, you can Google it and all that stuff, but Constantine changed the day. And so Saturday is the Sabbath day, it's the seventh day. Sunday is always the beginning of the week. You always know that by your paycheck, because your paycheck starts on Sunday. If you look at it, it starts on Sunday. And that's the first beginning of the week. If you keep the Sabbath day, if you keep, because it's a commandment, God blesses that day. He blessed that day. He didn't say, I bless Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He said, I bless the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Remember it and keep it holy. And I feel like if you do that, and this just from my experience, if you just rest on Saturday, you'll tell the difference. I do it every week. Every week. I don't do anything. I don't watch television. I don't do anything. It's from sundown.
I got a question too.
Okay. It's from sundown.
When did
Friday.
It start? Did it start? Yeah. That's,
from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So when the sun go down on Friday evening, it starts and it finished sundown Saturday evening. it used to bother me a lot, because especially when it was hot, because from it still be daylight on Friday when it's hot, when it's warm in the summertime, and then it be daylight when it's over. So, you know, I feel like I love God enough, and I ain't saying nobody else don't, because everybody do, because I just really, you know, since I've been married to my husband, I just really started keeping the Sabbath like that, because I had to do some digging and learn for myself when the Sabbath day was. I had to do a deep study, and I found out, had to get some encyclopedias and all of that, and you can go online and Google. It'll tell you Saturday was the Sabbath day.
That's in the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah. Yeah, remember the Sabbath day, the Sabbath, and keep it holy. That's one of the Ten Commandments. What you say?
I'm trying to make light of the situation, but because, you know, when I tried to do the Sabbath day, you know, just back going back thinking in my 20s, just trying to live right, trying to do, I just was so far off. I didn't know that it started Friday, and how I used to go out just like, well, I'm going to get all my outness and do what I'm going to do before Saturday, 4 a.m, which was Saturday. So I would go shopping and do what I needed to do on Friday night, whether it was at the mall, whether it was doing whatever I needed to do, not knowing that the Sabbath started after sundown on Friday. But I tried to do right. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, I know he probably honored it, and I didn't know, but I also didn't go look for myself either. You get what I'm saying? I didn't know that. So that's what I was actually asking. And then, you know, back in the days when I was much more of a teenager, and I just used to hear Sabbath day from you and a lot, and you resting on the Sabbath day, you know, because you didn't just start this. But I used to party on Friday, and I mean, it's just,
absolutely.
And I tried
we
to be right
indeed.
On Saturday. Oh, my God. And I just didn't know, you know, how you just try to get it together, and you just don't know. I am just
you don't
like,
you like don't that. Know because it's like you were raised that Sunday was the Sabbath day, because my mother raised me like that. But when you find out the truth, when you find out, then that's when it makes a difference, when you find out, because Apostle Deans was telling me, look, this is this. I was like, boy, don't come here trying to change nothing here, because, you know, this is what I know, but he said, well, you investigate. You look it up for yourself, and I did, because I was like, and every week he was telling me this. I'm like, the Sabbath is on a Sunday. He was saying, no, it's not. And so I had to really investigate. And then when I found out that Constantine changed it, you have to read. Constantine had something to do, so he changed the day, because he was king or emperor at that time, and it never changed back. So by that happening, it's making everybody that don't, they missing the Sabbath day. And then when you tell somebody that's in God about the Sabbath day, they think you Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not Seventh-day Adventist. I'm a Jesus person. I'm a believer. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. But I know when the Sabbath is, and I want everybody to know. Because I'm telling you, now when God say to you, well, you didn't keep the Sabbath, you'll know. But you need to investigate for yourself. You need to do some deep investigation. That's all to it.
I just wanted to because it's in Exodus, and I just wanted to kind of throw these scriptures out. It's in Exodus 29 through 11, and it's just saying, mm-hmm. you know, how people work 6 days a week, and mm-hmm. no one should work on the Sabbath day, not your daughters, not mm-hmm. your cattle, not your sons. And then it's mm-hmm. just saying that God, when God created the world, he took a day of rest. And most people will take that rest literally. And I think I heard Lala say earlier, you know what I'm saying, about the resting. I mean, resting is to get mm-hmm. your body rejuvenated for, you know, yeah. put on the full armor, the whole armor, so you can get back out yeah. there next week. Whether it's, I don't care what you're doing, but just so you can get right, because the devil, he is everywhere. You get at the gas station. Yeah. I mean, he at a Dollar General. He everywhere.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? He can. Right. You know what I'm saying? He anywhere that you could be, he could be. He can be. You get what I'm saying? Not at mm-hmm. one time, but you know, he's everywhere. So it's just mm-hmm. I just wanted to, you know, throw that script out there. I don't want to be yeah.
yeah. But you know what? It's good. That's a good thing, because we need to know. We need to know that. Everybody needs to know that. And when God wants you to know something, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw this in there, too. You know, like, we work, you know, Monday through Friday. You know, we work hard.
Mm-hmm.
We do, you know, we even in the Word of God, and, you know, we pray. But on that Saturday, when you devote your time to God, on the Sabbath
mm-hmm.
day, he gives
mm-hmm.
us that supernatural retention.
Mm-hmm.
He restores us. He renews us on that Sabbath, especially, you know, we're so busy during the week. Well, you know, a lot of times we don't have time to pray, which we should. I do. But, you know, a lot of times we don't have time to get in the Word. But if we get in the Word and stay before the Lord on that Sabbath day, he blesses
mm-hmm.
us and he rejuvenates us to go through that whole week. You know, and like she said,
that's
the day of even putting on the whole armor of God. Because you get the armor
mm-hmm.
back up, you get to be cleaner,
yeah.
and you get stronger. You're resting, and it's just a blessing, you know, to
mm-hmm.
stay before
yes,
the Lord on that Sabbath day. In his Word, we've
yeah.
been busy all week, but at least on Sabbath day, we can study and get in God's Word. And watch how he
yes,
gives us rest. Watch how we are renewed, our mind, our spirit. Watch how God transforms
us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He shall do it. He shall restore us, and he replenishes, just like she said, because Prophet Sala and Prophetess Mimi, God is a good God, and when you don't know, I used to party too when I was young. But after you repent, in turn, when you know the truth, when the truth come to you, when God send the truth, the Word of God to you, because I didn't know. I partied too. I wasn't always saved in the Word of God. See, some of these preachers and apostles and bishops, they get these big titles, doctors and all this kind of stuff, and they trying to act like they've been holy when they came all out and been living holy all their life. They haven't. They partied and did everything they thought they wanted to do, was big enough to do. Now, I ain't been always saved, and I thank God that I'm living holy now, but I sin every day. And if you say you don't sin, you a lie, and the truth ain't in you. That's the Word of God. I sin every day, but I repent every chance I get. So when God put it out there for you to know, you need to do something. You need to do something about it. Keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the seventh day, and it's the Sabbath day, and it's the day of rest. So I was working on the Sabbath. I was doing whatever on the Sabbath, but I don't do it anymore. I keep the Sabbath. And sometimes, you know, we have to work on the Saturday. Sometimes, you know, God knows. You still repent, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, you see my situation. He knows. God knows. So we need to take heed to that. Believe me, when you rest on the Sabbath, like Prophet Salah was saying, God just bless you. He restores you. He replenishes, just like she said, because, honey, I'll be in that bed and look like your body know it's the Sabbath day. You want to rest. But, honey, it's been some times I was coming in the door just from dancing all night. And then Sunday, Saturday, I try to get straightened out so I can go to church on Sunday. But that's not it. Constantine, he changed that day. So I'm not going to prolong the time. Everything gets good. And we got folk on here that study. But I want to hear everybody. I want to hear everybody. So please study the questions that I gave you. Just read that brand new Bible. Read it and answer them questions so I can hear somebody's voice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank everybody for being on. I thank all of y'all. I really appreciate it. Anybody else have anything to say before we get on? Amen. We're going to get ready to set it down. So tomorrow night we on for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour for 1 hour, same time. Father, I just thank you for everyone that's on this radio broadcast on tonight, everyone that's listening on tonight. Father, I just thank you for them tonight. I ask you to keep them all covered under the blood of Jesus tonight, Lord. I ask you to cover their families, their homes, the automobiles and the trucks and cars that they drive, Lord. I ask you to cover them on their jobs, in the school, on the playground, in the grocery store, the laundromat, wherever they go, God. I ask you to cover them in the blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Father, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, we just give you praise on tonight for opening up our understanding. Lord, we give you praise for binding the strong man tonight, Lord. And we thank you for binding up the strong man from our radio broadcast on tonight. We thank you for binding the strong man from our lives tonight, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you for all of the input from the different ones on the radio broadcast on tonight. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing on tonight. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. You all have a good rest of the night. And we'll see you for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. God bless y'all. Have a good night. And I love you, and God love you too. Have a good night.
Good night.